And I'm not saying Mayfield's Lamar Jackson.
Bucks fans, it is that time again for the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. That's right, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. That is Ira Kaufman, and this is his podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here, Ira Kaufman, and special guest Rock Riley. And those three are fresh off the practice fields at One Buck Palace with a lot more on-field insight today in this episode, a little more than usual. This is episode 2 of this week. You can go back and find all the other episodes on JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict. We thank all our many thousands of subscribers. And of course, all of you, even if you're just tuning in today, and the many who don't subscribe. But if you want to do that, leave a review, leave a comment. It's all fun. And it's all presented, as we said, by Bill Curry Ford. Now, there are so many fantastic 0% financing offers right now at BillCurryFord.com. That's the family named because they're family owned. Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Get there. General Manager Sean Sullivan, who's a great guy. He's our friend. And you can drop Ira's name. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. And he's also a huge Bucks fan. He's the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. He wants to help you personally. That means a lot. That means you can just email him at the website and say, hey, Sean, I need a vehicle. I'm looking to get into a Mustang or I want to get into an Explorer. I need a truck, but I'm not ready. I'm like a month away. And he'll go over everything with you. Remember, if you do custom order a vehicle, you get a $500 gift card. There's no deposit. Every new vehicle has a nationwide lifetime warranty, which is fantastic. You can read all about it at BillCurryFord.com. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford. And our thanks also to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. It is storm season. You need a plan, and it's got to include Florida's Elite Restoration. When damage comes, flood, whatever it is, you have to know who to call 24/7. Who's going to come out to your home and give you a free assessment, free guidance, free evaluation of the disaster? And if you roll with them, they will work with your insurance company to make sure that you don't get ripped off, because that's how the business is. I personally dealt with that myself years ago. Florida's Elite Restoration, owner Josh Martin, big Bucks fan. His crew has 25 years combined working in the insurance industry on the adjustment side, so they know how to get your money. And they've got top-of-the-line, high-tech technology. They are serving the entire Tampa Bay area, but they're still family-owned. So you can get Josh on the phone if you need him. And they're there 24/7. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mold specialists, licensed mold remediation specialists, storm damage, flood, fire. Florida's Elite Restoration. Our friends at Big Storm Beer, BigStormBrewery.com. The tap rooms are there. We're going to talk more about that later. Odessa, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Ybor City, Centro Ybor, upstairs. Great new location. Cape Coral in Orlando as well at the Amway Center. Bromosa, Wavemaker Amber Ale. Check them out. In addition to the many other beers, you're going to find them in a lot of stores, Publix, wherever. And try it. And get out to the tap rooms. They get all their great spirits as well. Award-winning spirits at Big Storm Brewery. BigStormBrewery.com. Now, you know what? I am just going to kick it over to the Bucks conversation, because that's where it's happening. Lee and Ira are jumping in. Plenty of good stuff to talk about here. And it pretty much runs the gamut, as so many podcasts do. So here you go, fellas.
Ira, how you doing today, this summer day?
Well, I'm doing well, Lee. We're joined by Mr. Rock Riley, the distinguished man of letters in Tampa Bay sports. Lee, I'm celebrating an anniversary. No, not a wedding. 2 weeks ago today, Lee, I fell right on my keister on the hard courts of the rec center. Doubles went down, they said, in pieces. Looked like slow motion. Didn't hit my head, but put my arms out. Fractured my left wrist. And finished the game, Mr. DeCamper.
No,
finished the game. Brooklyn strong. That's what you do when you're from Brooklyn. You finish. And we won, Lee. And we won. Now, Lee, we just dined at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Delish.
And Rock had a nice tall glass of suds which was nice. That'll loosen Rock Riley up for this podcast,
Lee. Woo! Hope not that much. The bathroom's about 50 yards away.
And I had a good day, Lee. I'll tell you why. We were out at the Bucks today. Second day of the 3-day mandatory mini camp.
And Todd Bowles is still hounding you about your arm.
Yeah, he still is. But you know what? Rondé Barber showed up, and I saw him. And I got the hug from Rondé Barber. Lee, nobody wants to believe it, but since the announcement in February, and it's been 4 months, I have not seen Rondé Barber. They had a day for Rondé at Valspar, but I couldn't make it. And apparently, he started off his speech saying, I want to thank Ira Kaufman. So I wish I would have been there that day. I wasn't there. And then when I looked at all the videos, nobody carried that statement. Nobody used the first line. They cut right in.
I believe it.
The way it was. And I'm going to start the discussion here, Lee. One guy jumped out at me.
Oh, yeah?
And I had to get the roster off Rock Riley and grab the sheet because I wasn't sure what this guy's number is.
I was wondering who you were looking for.
He's a draft pick. I should have known his number. It's not Cansey. Lee, every time I turned around, when they did complete a pass, which wasn't often today, it was the rookie tight end. Payne Durham had a nice day, Lee. Number 87. I didn't see him drop a ball. Now, look, in the great words of Lee DeKemper, underwear football, Rock. You can't beat that.
That's Raheem.
Underwear football.
That's Raheem.
And that's Raheem. You're giving credit where credit's due. Yeah. There wasn't much to get excited about today. And I'll say this. I know they got Kate Otten, but I think this might be a tight end heavy offense that Canales is going to install.
I think you might be right.
And I think there's a spot for Durham to make an immediate contribution. I'm thinking the red zone.
Yes.
With his height.
I agree.
This kid's got a chance to make a difference.
That's very interesting. You said a rookie receiver. Mike Evans didn't practice today. Russell Hurt Gage is not practicing because, all together now, he's hurt.
He's hurt.
So the rookie wide receivers, plural, are getting a boatload of reps, a lot of reps. And the guy that jumped out, if I had to say there was a guy that probably had a really good practice day offensively, I also was going to go rookie receiver. It would be Cade Warner. More I see of Cade Warner.
Undrafted kid.
I may mispronounce this word, Ira. Scion of Kurt Warner.
Scion. I'm going.
He reminds me sort of like an Adam Humphries kind of guy. A possession receiver. Now I know I'm stereotyping. I get it. But he just reminds me of a guy who has a knack for finding space in a defense. He may not be the fastest guy. Certainly isn't the tallest guy. Isn't the guy that jumps the best, but somehow always finds a crack in the
keeps
defense.
The chains moving, right, Lee?
Exactly. So the more I see of him, the more I'm thinking, if he doesn't make the team, he's going to get on the practice squad, and then later on gets on the roster, sort of like Adam Humphries did when he was rookie, and he built a nice little career for himself.
Let's see how he does on special teams, too, Lee.
That'll be key.
Rock, anything make an imprint on you?
You know, it's funny Lee brought that up, because when I saw Cade Warner, you would never know that he would be an NFL player. All right, let's face it. He's a little guy. We know Kurt Warner. He was big, his dad. And he did stick out to me today a couple of times. This offense is getting the quarterback to get the ball out real quick. But they do take some shots. And a couple of times on the deep ball, I'm looking up. I had a look on the roster. That's Warner. So it's funny that Lee brought that up. I noticed the same thing. Now, on defense, not so much today. Rookie mini camp, and then the other day, yesterday on day one, Servassier Dennis.
Yes.
The linebacker who was known for he's going to be a tough hitter. He's good. He's side to side. He has made some picks in these practices. And again, I know underwear football and all that, but he really has stood out. And he was asked, it was Lamonte David today, I think it was, or no, it was even Bowles. And it was like, yeah, he's doing well if we have to use him. Cause really KJ Britt has been in place of Devin White while Devin White has not been practicing. But when Servassier gets his chance, I think watch out for him. He stood out for
Lee,
me.
Lee, the development of Dennis could be very impactful on future decisions for Jason Light and Bowles and the Glazers, because Lavonte David's not getting any younger.
Are you
and we don't know what's going on with Devin White.
Well, I was going to ask, are you referring to number 45?
You know, but Lavonte's not signed past 1 year, Lee. It's going to be a year-to-year.
And you're really pushing the envelope, expecting a 34-year-old guy to start and produce in the NFL linebacker. But I wouldn't put it past David, but that's rare.
He does keep himself in good shape, Lee, but Dennis could be a factor, maybe not so much in 23, but certainly going forward.
Yeah, I agree with that, because if he gets on the field and does anything, well, all of a sudden, Devin White's expendable.
And you know what, Lee, you're right. I noticed when they were being in the red zone today, a lot of the quarterbacks are thrown to the tight ends.
Yep.
But again, that's because Mike Evans wasn't practicing today and Russell Gage isn't there. But I think you're right, Lee, you're going to see more tight ends in this offense this year.
Lee, what's going on with Devin White at this point?
I don't know. I know he wasn't in practice today.
These are really extensive tests that they're doing. My God. How long do these tests go on, Lee?
Well, you got to remember the same fountain of information that didn't know what was wrong with Ryan Jensen's knee in December is also talking about Devin White's going through these tests. So,
is it a matter of Bowles protecting his guy?
Could be.
Do you guys think that's what it is?
Very well could be.
There's no way they test for 2-3 days. He showed up couple days ago to do the picture and the video and do those things. So he's been in the building. How long is this testing going to go on?
Lee, you know what it reminds me of? When Washington was the Redskins and Joe Gibbs was the coach. Lee, it's not a coincidence that in 82, which was a strike season, 87 was the replacement season, The Redskins won the Super Bowl both years. And I give Joe Gibbs a tremendous amount of credit, Lee. And especially 87 with the replacement guys playing three games. Gibbs was very careful, and he handled it brilliantly. He wasn't going to take any pot shots on his regular players because he knew this replacement thing wasn't going to last.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need my guys back. Mm-hmm. And the players noticed that, Lee. And so Devin White, who I think Bowles figures, what's he going to do? Sit out the season? He's got the big picture in mind, Bowles, and he's doing the right thing, Lee, because Devin White's going to be a Buck this season.
Well, I think, would it be fair to say, similarly, that we all think that Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback because Bowles needs wins? Bowles needs Devin White on the field because he needs wins.
He's not going to demoralize Kyle Trask in mid-June.
Fair.
And say Baker Mayfield's got the job. He's not going to do that.
Right. But I was thinking, like you were suggesting, Ira, about Devin White, that Bowles doesn't want to blow up White because White will say, screw you, I'll just half-ass it during the season, get you fired.
Bowles has to handle this very sensitively, Rock.
Yeah, he is probably doing the right thing because this is going to be his inside linebacker. This is it. I don't know if Devin White is just getting like bad information, bad advice from somebody.
What'd you glean out of Lavonte David about Devin White, that relationship?
If you didn't catch it today, he was like, he's my guy. I've been talking to him through this.
Didn't he say you can't let your ego get ahead of you?
Yeah, the emotion.
The emotion.
And he let his emotion get it. I don't know if he's the sharpest tack. And I'm being honest about Devin White. I remember there was a day where we were there last year on a Wednesday. We're in the locker room. He'd be playing his cards or whatever. They brought over a lot of players. They set up this backdrop right where they used to have the little basketball hoop. And Devin White was standing there and he goes, what are y'all going to be asking about today? What are you going to be asking about today?
Yeah.
And I said, well, for defense, you're going up against a mobile quarterback. So I guess you got to be. And he goes, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. Is he just not that sharp and he's getting bad information?
He's trying to play games over
there. He's going to be paid just about $12 million. Yeah. You know, I get it. It's business, and he's looking for the big, big picture.
It's like the Kemper. The Kemper's got champagne problems, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lee, Devin White acts a little immaturely at times. I think that's fair.
I think the best example of what you guys are referring to, when Devin White, I guess he threw a hissy fit because he wasn't named the Pro Bowl in 2020, and Brady told him to clam up. It's like, we got bigger games to worry about than that crap.
And they won a Super Bowl, right?
They won a Super Bowl.
Now, he made it the next year. So they're about to start their Super Bowl run.
Yeah, and Brady told him to clam up. He's like, we got bigger games to worry about than that crap.
Lee, this thing about that, you know, we got a new offense, but Bowles is making it really tough on us. He's throwing this at us. He's throwing that at us. They're blitzing from everywhere. Lee, I'm sure Bowles is not emptying his tank in mid-June. Is that concerning you a little bit, that the defense is way ahead of the offense at this point? They are putting in a new offense.
Yeah, it's a new offense, which also, I wonder, about that claim that Bowles is throwing the book at him. If they're learning an offense, the coach wants them to get the offense down. If Bowles is throwing them off every other play, well, they're not really learning the offense.
I agree.
And that kind of negates your offense's, not production, but development.
And don't forget, the O-line's overhauled. So now when they do blitz,
good point.
You know, a disguised blitz, they're having trouble picking it up.
Stunts is the word I was looking for. Stunts.
Today, man, it's just, you know, I was more on the positive side. Like, they might be able to surprise. Nobody thinks they're going to do anything. Mayfield does have talent. Trask has learned, and we keep hearing, oh, he's a different guy now. He's got this confidence. Ooh, we got Ryan Jensen back. Wirfs just look good moving over. Ooh, they like Filer. Oh, you got a running attack. Oh, you got two great receivers that have done it all. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe they'll be surprised. And then today, when I was looking at the 11 on 11, there were so many incompletes. There really were. And it was either off their hands, the passes were off. And then I realized, like, okay, we're in June, no more GOAT, and totally new offense. Every time we get a second-year offense, you always hear, oh, we're so much further ahead than we were last camp because we're able to do it. That's a big factor. Here, you don't have the GOAT, and they're dropping them. And then I was shooting video of the DBs doing their drills, and I know it comes in bunches. They want to get back to getting interceptions, but they were dropping a lot today. Had you noticed that too,
Lee?
And the one coach is like, that's money. That's money. You're dropping money.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know what? It is June. It is hotter than hell.
We got to be patient.
Right. So I'm not going to I don't want to jump high or low. But today, from what I saw, Lee, it was not a good day.
No, it wasn't. There's one thing I saw today, and I take it you saw the same thing, Rock. I haven't seen it in a long time. When I say long time, I'm talking Lovie Smith and before. Saw a lot of passes hitting the dirt. Not just drops, not just off the hands, just flat out, you know, throwing and no one's there.
Yeah, or behind, like, behind and
that's
low.
That's the definition of a bad practice right there. Balls on the ground.
Balls
on the ground.
Now, Lee, with all due respect
to
number 12, who I'm in no position to argue, the best who's ever played the position is Tom Brady. Possibly, you could argue, the greatest player of any position in
NFL
history.
Yeah, I won't go that far, but it's an argument.
It's an argument. But the fact is, he wasn't mobile.
No, he was not.
Now you got Canales, and I'm not saying Mayfield's Lamar Jackson, Lee, but do you think we're going to see a big difference in, like, where the launch point is for these passes, rollouts? How different could this offense look?
Well, just like the first four or five plays today were all rollouts.
Yes.
Like, well, you didn't see that the last few years. And I think I put it on Twitter last time I saw that many rollouts or quarterbacks on the run, it was when Stuart McClown was the quarterback.
I saw it.
How would you describe Mayfield's mobility?
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. The thing is, he's got a good arm, but, you know, this is his third, fourth team? So there's a reason for that.
Is that a way to compensate in a way for his lack of height? And so in the pocket, it's tough to see over these guys?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because the guy that you don't like anymore, and he's still my guy, is Chris Sims. And I was watching Chris Sims the other day, and they were breaking down the Bucs, and he's breaking down Mayfield. And he goes, what I like about Mayfield is he honestly thinks that he's 6'5". He does not care that he's 6 foot. I like that about him, and I think that that is true. I really do think that is true. But my big thing is,
where did he have Mayfield ranked, Rock?
He had him higher than most.
In the 20s?
About 20, 24.
Okay.
24. Right. But,
and as Ira pointed out the last podcast, so many national analysts, writers, columnists are really down on Mayfield.
Yes.
And I think, although I don't know this, I think one reason is Mayfield is not scared or not shy to mix it up with reporters. A lot of reporters don't like that.
That's a good point, Lee.
Yes, it is. Because the video that went viral, that Kyle Berger, who is a sports reporter locally in Tampa Bay, he put out a video and he put out passes of Trask and Mayfield. and it was during warmups. There was no defender, and Mayfield really misses on a 7-yard pass to a tight end. So did Trask. Well, that was chopped up, and that went viral.
Ridicule. National ridicule.
What is going on in Tampa? I can complete that pass. And then, did you guys cover this on yesterday's podcast when Kyle Trask came out and actually mentioned Kyle Berger?
No.
And Kyle Berger was asking a question about a player that he played against in college.
Blankenship. And we're talking about Mayfield.
Mayfield.
Yeah. And said, I still don't like you. Well, that went viral. But Kyle, the reporter, was just asking Mayfield about that. And Mayfield looked right at him. He goes, you're always trying to stir shit up.
Yeah,
and he ended the press conference. And then he said something under his breath. And I said to Kyle Berger today, Kyle, how the hell did he know that that was you? You were in a name tag? He goes, no. That viral video must have got to him.
Yeah, he was seething about it.
He was. But you know what? I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Be pissed off. That's fine. What did Arians say?
I asked Arians if Mayfield's a punk. I used the word punk. He goes, no, I wouldn't say that, Ira. But he's cocky. He's a cocky son of a gun.
And he goes, I want that.
And I want that. By the way, Lee, I'm going to say it again. You know, camp's not going to start for 6 weeks, and I'll probably say it again first day of camp, but no Arians, Lee. No Arians. No. For Todd Bowles' future with the Buccaneers, I kind of like the idea that Arians is not looking over his shoulder this year, not there. From Bowles' standpoint, it might be a positive.
I agree. It might not be a positive for the Bucs or Bucs fans, but it's a positive for Bowles.
You couldn't defer to Arians, you know.
Yeah, it snaps the umbilical cord.
Last year, the times when he would be on his golf cart, you'd see Gabbert, you'd see some of the guys, they'd go over and say something or ask him or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
Brady too.
Is it? I mean, Arians like, this is not looking good.
No, I think it's more like I want to play golf now. I think. It's Bowles' time to sink or swim, Lee.
Quite literally.
And that's why Lee and I both think Trask doesn't have too much of a chance. A slim chance, but not much of a chance.
Trask
I would be shocked if
camp.
He started.
I would too.
Are you going that far?
I'll say I'm surprised right now as of June 14th. You know, I would hope people want me to be honest in my analysis, my observations.
A good friend of ours asks you every day, how's Trask doing?
He doesn't like it when I tell him what I see. And what I see is not good. He's just a guy.
Rock, he could be a guy that could last 10 years as a backup in this league.
Like a Ryan.
I'm Mike Glennon. It happened for Mike Glennon. It happens, Lee. Look at Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson's terrible. He can't play. The guy's around for 12 years. It's amazing.
I would have liked them to still bring in a number three, some veteran maybe.
Oh, Wolford. You know,
Wolford is 5'6". No, maybe he's 5'10". You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So if let's say Mayfield starts off and he's throwing picks, he's going good. Okay, now all your eggs are in the Trask basket.
Yeah.
There's no veteran there, but this is what it is. Trask, he can come through with some decent passes. I did see him throw a bomb. He's got a strong arm, but you just notice it. Like, I even put a video today of them stretch it, warming up, and Mayfield asserts himself. He's already in front of, like, Trask. You know what I mean? Does that stuff going to matter? Is it really matter that he goes with Ryan Jensen to the Rays game? Does that really matter? But it just comes across right now like Mayfield's going to start the season.
And, Lee, I can't get around this. Just to me, the vibe. This is a very unusual year, Lee, in terms of you're going to have to reassess after about week 7 or 8. Where are we? Are we 2-5? If we're 2-5, things have to change. Our approach has to change.
I don't know if I brought this up on one of your recent pods. NFL.com, the guy that you can't stand.
Adam Rank?
Yeah.
I think he's a comedian, that guy.
Well, he had the Bucs starting out something atrocious, like 0-7. I think he had them 0-7, but they wound up with 7 wins. Like, if they're 0-7, or I'll go a step further, Ira. If the Bucs are 1-5, is Todd Bowles a dead man walking? I would say the wheels have already started to look for his replacement. So the Bucs got to start out quick. Otherwise, the inevitable chatter will happen.
And Rock, at that point, God forbid they're 1-5, Rock, but at that point, Light has to answer his phone when somebody says, I want Devin White. I'm interested in Mike Evans. Is he available?
Right.
Things could change.
You got to look towards the future.
Things could change.
And if you do that, who the hell's going to be the interim guy then?
Now,
No. I don't think Bowles will ever get fired in season.
Oh,
the Blazers
okay.
have never done it, but the wheels will be put in motion to look for a new coach.
I got
because
you.
Very rarely, although we think this way, and I'm including myself, we think it's very chronological. Okay, when a guy gets fired, that means the night before the owner's made a decision. Well, just an example, I heard when Schiano was fired, I was told the wheels began turning to get rid of Schiano in October.
Wow, and then it lost.
Yeah, because the start was terrible in 2013.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I bet you, for example, when the Bucks decided to get rid of Cutter, I would not be surprised at Thanksgiving if Light had already reached out to Arians.
Gotcha.
Gauging, hey,
gotcha.
Man, would gotcha. You want to come back? Otherwise, I'll start
and Arians was
people.
In the broadcast booth at that time.
Yeah.
Rock, weigh in on something that Lee and I and Steve's been kicking around a little bit. And I'm a little more forceful on this subject. I'm not sure Lee and Steve necessarily agree, but...
Hold on, Sage. We got to talk food for a minute. Your favorite. And I'm talking about the amazing menus at the Big Storm Brewery tap rooms. Big Storm Brewing Company. Not just spirits and beer. Food. Amazing Nashville hot chicken sandwich. They've got their great flatbreads, daily specials, seafood... Great salads. Ira loves that tropical salad. So many great things and great appetizers. BigStormBrewery.com. Check out your taproom menu and follow them on social media. Big Storm Brewing Company. Pick your local taproom and you'll see the schedule coming up for live music, daily food specials, and more. Big Storm Brewing Company. Remember, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there for a new vehicle 24/7. Do it now while you listen. BillCurryFord.com. A mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put that in your favorites, in your bookmark, and you have it when you have that disaster in your home. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
I look at Rashad White, Keyshawn Vaughn, Chase Edmonds. I don't think it's good enough, bro. I don't think it's good enough. I think they're going to add another running back, or they should add another. I'm not saying Dalvin Cook, but Rock, are you okay with that backfield? Is that enough for you? Considering they're going to have to run the ball more this year without Brady?
Again, Chase Edmonds, he's smaller. He's a little. He's a little guy.
He had some good years in Arizona.
I got two words for him. Dari Ogunbowale.
Really?
We're talking about nothing.
Really? Like
250 yards rushing? Yeah. Really?
No.
You want to see more Keyshawn Vaughn?
He hasn't shown me anything that would say... Whoa, I haven't seen anything. No, right. I really haven't.
I've seen spurts of his.
Weren't there times last year where Bowles said, I want to see a little more of Vaughn? Sort of sending a message to Leftwich that never got answered. Or Light said it.
Light said it at the Combine with everybody and their brother watching. ESPN, CBS, NBC, Fox, you name it. The whole football world was there.
Sending a message to your offensive coordinator.
What do you guys see that you're not seeing with Rashad White? Is it that he doesn't have
production.
The breakaway speed? Is it hitting the hole too slow a little bit?
Lee had a stat on Rashad White about not breaking tackles, right, Lee?
Rashad White is fifth worst in the NFL for average yards per carry when hit behind the line of scrimmage. He averaged 1 yard a carry.
He's a little too slow because they were starting to compare him to Le'Veon Bell. Do you remember that last year? Oof. Oh, he hits the hole slow and then he accelerates.
He's patient.
Yeah. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. But I'm not ready to give up on Rashad White.
There's a little bit of difference between Rashad White and Le'Veon Bell.
But you want to see more, Rob?
I do. And I'm willing to say that he possibly could get that. I'm not ready to turn to
Le'Veon Bell.
But I'm not kidding you, Lee. I heard a lot of people comparing him to Le'Veon Bell. He's smooth, he's slick.
Bell was an all pro.
Le'Veon Bell smoked pot before every game.
Oh.
Maybe Rashad White should try that.
But he was famous for being very patient, Bell, and he would let the play develop, and then he would make his move.
Whereas
exactly.
Lenny would.
That's the difference between him and White. He would make his move and get production. White gets tackled.
All right, well, let's.
Can we ask for some production? What's wrong with production? Like I always joke with Ira Rock. Is the guy allowed to miss or break a tackle? Is he allowed to make a guy miss?
Now, wait a minute, gentlemen. We can't let this podcast go much longer without mentioning this, gentlemen. A star was born today. A star.
Oh,
at the podium. His name's Ryan Neal.
Oh, he's good.
And I want to see Ryan Neal at that podium, Lee, as much as I could, because not only is he colorful, he's sharp.
Yes, he's smart. Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a good player for the Bucs.
I do, and he's come from that system in Seattle. And no, I like him.
He's making plays on the field.
There you go. That's
what
counts.
Making plays on the field.
That's what counts.
You think he's going to play much at nickel? Lee?
I don't know.
Since they're looking for a nickel guy?
It wouldn't shock me, only because how many times have we heard, both in the past and this week, Bowles has so many different ways to use people. So many different ways.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd say, yeah, sure, he'll have some snaps at nickel. I think it's fair to say that Antoine Winfield will have very few snaps at nickel.
This could be a pretty good secondary if guys stay healthy.
I agree. You know, it's funny. I'm still thinking about you guys with the Rashad White thing. And like, okay, yeah, he can't be anybody missed, but that whole running attack was horrible.
Worst thing ever.
It was terrible. It made Lenny look bad.
Yeah, collectively, it was terrible.
So I'm I am willing to give Rashad White a little bit more chance than you guys.
One reason why I might be a little tough on White, if there's any position made to make an impact as a rookie, it's running back.
Yes.
And he made no, with the exception of one game. And the way he played, he needs to be playing in USFL in Europe or whatever the hell it is. Wait, he played in Germany? Holy smokes. Just to caution people wondering what this offense looks like, it doesn't look anything like no risk it, no biscuit. You can make an argument, in this offense, there is no biscuit.
Lee, to be fair, last year's offense wasn't no risk it,
well,
no biscuit
I hate,
either.
I don't want to go off on the guy because I like him so much, so I'm not going to say anything, but I will say this. Whoever thought it was such a good idea to tinker with the league's best offense, if he couldn't see why that didn't need to be tinkered with, then I don't know what to say. That is Exhibit A, Ira. Like I always say, don't fix what's not broken. And there's Exhibit A.
Now, look, Rock, there's no question Jensen's injury hurt, but you can't blame everything on Ryan Jensen.
No.
You just can't.
No.
Brady looked his age a little bit.
He did.
And they couldn't run it worth a damn.
What do you guys make that there's been so much shuffling from the young guys in the offensive line? And what's that say about last year? For example, Getke, all of a sudden now Getke's, you know, the savior at right tackle. Our friend from Notre Dame, you don't hear about him anymore.
Haynesy.
Don't hear his name anymore.
Yeah.
You do not hear his name anymore. All of a sudden you got the big dude in there at left
Filer. They like him.
Yeah,
they keep talking
Filer left guard. Well, of course, they like everybody this time of year. You know, as long as he's wearing a Bucks uniform. They got Filer at left guard, Mauch at right guard. I mean, all the guys they were banking on and they were like, you know, throwing bouquets about last year that have all been replaced virtually or moved. What's that tell you about last year?
They lost a lot of toughness up front. That's what it tells me. And Jensen was part of it. But Marpet, part of it.
Yep.
Donovan Smith, poor season. Shaq Mason, not overly physical. Pretty good player. But not overly. He's not a mauler. This guy, Malk's a mauler. Malk, whatever you want to call him. Second round pick. He's going to be the right guard.
He's going to be.
He's coming. So you put him next to Jensen. And Filer, and you know, you might have something in the middle.
And watching it, we've been watching practice. These quarterbacks, boom, the ball gets out of their hands quick.
How can it be any quicker than last year?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, boom.
Brady had the
quickest. You know, Brady didn't want to get hit last year, but like you said.
He admitted that recently, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
That TMZ
video? I just
didn't want to get hit.
Yeah. It might have been at the F1 or whatever.
Yeah, and they asked him about coming back.
Lee, I got to see more than 6 touchdowns from Mike Evans. I'm sorry. I got to see more. And he had 3 in one game at the end of the season. He only had 3 going into the Carolina game.
Do you know that the average score the Bucs had last year was very similar to your Mike Glennon-led Buccaneers?
Oh, boy.
Think about that. And you had Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Playoff Lenny, who, say what you will about Playoff Lenny, he had really good yak numbers.
He did.
How could you have that lousy of an offense with those players? You got to try. No wonder Leftwich was gone.
It was an utter collapse. And I made the point, I think the defense got worn down by terrible offense game after game.
Mm-hmm.
We're keeping you in the game. It's 7-3 at halftime. You can't score at halftime. We only gave up 7 points and we're losing at halftime. And Rock, it wears you down mentally, I think. And now I'm not making excuses for the Dallas game. The Dallas game was a disgrace.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace. But the last
strong,
6 weeks, the defense deteriorated
a
little. And I think they got worn out.
No doubt. But, you know, how dare you? They were the NFC South champions.
I don't think 8-9 is going to be good enough this year.
I was busting.
I think you're right.
You didn't say anything, Sage.
Your friend Scott Smith came out, I thought, with a very interesting stat.
Fox 13 Scott Smith or Buccaneers Scott Smith?
You know, he likes to dig.
He's a digger. He's a digger.
And he came up with one I thought was very interesting. There's only been four times a losing team has won a division in a non-strike shortened season. So a full season. A full season. It's only happened four times.
Seattle was one, I think.
Seattle was one.
Oh, yes. Seattle. I think it's
Seattle was one.
Oh, not Seattle.
And I think they ended up winning a playoff game that year, too.
Yeah, they beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch. The year after that, the division winner has 10 or more wins.
Wow.
Every year. Carolina, when Carolina won it with a losing record a few years ago, the next year they were 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. So whoever, if you
Divisions change.
If you go by history, whoever wins the NFC South will have 10 wins.
It's only June, you know? So we saw some bad football today.
Joe Buck's Ira, parting words.
All right. You know, you just brought something up, Lee, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I hope this doesn't happen. But if the Bucks have a bad season, I might look back and say, you know what? Winning that damn division was the worst thing that could have happened to this team because it gave them a false sense that we still got a very good nucleus. And without an injury to Jensen or whatever, we would have won 10 or 11 games when I'm not sure that's the case. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong, Lee, but if the Bucks have a bad year, I think you might look back and say they needed to overhaul this roster and they didn't do it enough. We'll see. Maybe they shouldn't have brought Lavonte David back. Maybe they shouldn't have done this, but it's a fresh start. Who knows? They might go 11-6. And make fools out of all of us. Rock, you think they're going to have a pretty good season?
Well, I was a little bit more optimistic until today, but I'm just now throwing this off as to
underwear football, Rock.
Underwear football, okay? They did make a lot of moves and kind of cleaned house with offensive coaches. That in their minds, Sage, they knew that that was a terrible NFC South championship. They were a bad team. And they had to make changes, and they did. So now they've overhauled. They bring in a guy with a lot of energy, and he's had success with this system in Seattle. And now you got more of a mobile quarterback and moving out. But it takes time to gel with that. Doesn't happen overnight. So that's where I'm going to kind of look at it right now. So finish strong. With your last day before minicamp, give them the talk. Don't get arrested, you know. And they're having a big barbecue. Did you see the amount of meat that they
slabs
had?
Of ribs were coming.
Slabs of ribs, and they're going to bond and finish out on a good note. That's what I would like to say.
How many hogs were in that grill?
Oh my God, dang it, Lee!
Lee, one more quick thing, and I'll set you up for this. Speaking of what Rock was saying with Canales and rolling out, you know, either Mayfield or Trask, you hate to say it, but from a defensive standpoint around the league, the Bucs were not difficult to play against last year. You knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
You knew where the ball was going to be thrown from, the launch point with Brady. Now, you know, Brady did it for 20 years, and he was fantastic.
What did Brady say?
It didn't work last year.
It's a pass-a-thon.
Yeah.
They know what we're doing.
Everybody knew what they were doing, Lee. I think this offense is going to be a little tougher to prepare for, I think.
Ira, how long in the season will it take for us to have an idea what this offense is, and maybe more importantly, what it is not?
I like the number six, Lee, because it would encompass a bye week. If they're struggling and they still struggle week six off the bye week, then I think you reassess a little bit. 6 weeks sounds good to me, Lee. 6 weeks.
You've heard it straight from the mouth of the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports.